Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com, the internet's largest Christmas website, and as this episode will profoundly prove, home to the world's greatest Christmas community, known as the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, the biggest fan of Christmas fans everywhere. I say that not to mean that I'm a great fan, but rather that I am a fan of the fans of Christmas, who so wholeheartedly support us and Christmas Online. Years ago, when I was maybe 18, 19 years old, a wise elderly friend who was then in his late 80s, and of course is now long gone, said to me quite prophetically, quote, "Son, your heart is going to ache for the turning back of the years. Time marches on at the same measured pace for all of us, but you will one day look back and want to recapture time," unquote. In this episode, we indeed go back in time. 10 years of the Merry Podcast is what we celebrate in this episode, and it's a good milestone, and one that has special meaning for me in a real personal way, as I think back on the words of my old friend from so many years ago. As I record this podcast today, I'm doing it from my computer here on my dad's kitchen table. My dad's in the hospital tonight fighting for his life. He's in year 6 of a 5-year cancer survivor prediction, and he's just been diagnosed with COVID. And I would be lying if I told you I wasn't worried or that I wasn't looking back, trying to turn back the hands of time tonight. Most of you don't know it, but my father has long been a champion of My Merry Christmas and what we do. He's supported me in this in ways great and small. And you may not know him, but he knows some of you, and he appreciates you in ways that you couldn't imagine. So I'm dedicating this episode to my dad, because he's symbolic of so many things we're all experiencing right now. He's a fighter, and he's going to get past this, I tell you. I would also tell you that if you're suffering, as many are during this cruel year of 2020, then give this episode of celebrating 10 years a long listen. I promise it'll help you feel good. You'll smile. Maybe you will even laugh a little. And you will definitely get into the Christmas spirit. Because this episode isn't about me or my dad at the end of the day. It's about you. I get all kinds of messages from folks who contact us from seeing our site or hearing our podcast or radio streams or those, you know, places where we are. And those messages usually fall into one of several categories. And one of those categories is what I call befuddlement. They are messages like this that we received from a guy just this week. He says, quote, "Mr. Westover, I just listened to your podcast for the first time, and I have to tell you that you are one weird dude, man. I get Christmas and all, but I'm not sure I get you. You say you've been doing this for 29 years, unquote. Well, if we've had you wondering, then this episode is definitely for you. Hang with me till the end here, and you'll get it. You'll understand why I am so weird and what makes this merry little podcast so very different or even odd, I guess, compared to the sea of Christmas podcasts that are out there now. When we began this 10 years ago, I think I could find maybe 2 or 3 other Christmas-themed podcasts, and none of them were podcasting year-round. And to be honest, I had to be pushed into doing it. It only happened because we had a radio stream, and podcasting seemed to be, in those days, just a neat extension of what we were already doing on Kringle Radio. And like everything else we have done over the years, our efforts with podcasting have evolved, changed with the technology and the time, and at the center of it all has not been me, but rather it has been you, our Christmas friends, especially those of you at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas. On this 10th anniversary of the Merry Podcast, I want to share with you some of the great moments from our podcast history, because everything we do at MyMerryChristmas.com actually begins and ends with the Christmas community. And you'll see that as we play these segments that follow, our ghosts of Christmas podcasting past coming back to bring us Christmas magic once again. Of course, our podcast has changed, and there are likely now thousands of people who pick up the podcast who have never visited our site, who have never heard the original Mary podcast, and who have never thus heard the opening of our original episodes. Well, I still use this opening for our full versions of the Mary podcast, that which is kept private for the premier members of our forums. But folks in the public realm don't hear this anymore. So for you, here's a gift.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appeared.
Cheer up, dude. It's Christmas.
Who ever heard of a skinny Santa? Eat, eat.
And why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
Aunt Clara had for years labored under the delusion that I was not only perpetually 4 years old, but also a girl.
You're feeling strong, my friend. Call me Elf one more time.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad isms floating around this world, but one of the worst is commercial. Makeup, even in Brooklyn it's the same. Don't care what Christmas stands for, just makeup.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, fork-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, hopeless, heartless, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed, hallelujah, all these things of Tylenol.
What was the last thing you and Charlie did before you went to bed Christmas Eve?
We shared a bowl of sugar and some shots of brown liquor. Played with my shotguns, field-dressed a cat, looked for women.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
Is this toothbrush approved by the American Dental Association?
I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I don't believe you're an angel. I think you're a demon right out of...
Sentimental hogwash.
You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Merry Christmas!
Ow! Son of a nutcracker!
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We don't play that anymore for our public podcast opening, but I share it here out of historical interest. When I first put it together, I had several versions of it. I tested, and from the Mary forums, I received suggestions for refinements that we could make to it. So yes, even our opening a decade ago was influenced, crowdsourced, you could say, by the community online. Well, how does that work? What is that all about? What is this thing that we call the Mary forums? To answer that, I'm going to turn to two of our members. If you recall, back in July, we put out a brief episode of the Merry Little Podcast that was just a conversation between Ball Coach, one of our members, with Brad Mack, another one of our members. That's just how we roll on the Merry Forums. We do stuff. Ball Coach had an idea one day, and he said, hey, do you mind if we do this for Christmas in July? I'll just set up some phone calls with other forum members, and we'll talk and record it, and then we'll share it. And of course, I agreed. What a great idea, right? Well, I turned that first conversation into a podcast episode, but I saved this conversation for this anniversary episode. And this conversation is between Ball Coach and Edge, another one of our loyal forum members. Now, remember that these two guys have only known each other online through the forums. They've never met, and they've never actually talked on the phone until just now in this recording. What you will hear is a progressive thing, a microcosm of what Christmas Together Online does to us as people. It begins a little awkward, and then there is found some commonality, and then there's laughter, and there's reminiscing, and then there's Christmas. This is the Christmas Community Online.
Why don't you start off telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I just turned 42. I don't feel 42, but in a good way. So I run every day, so I guess that helps. For the last 7 years, I actually haven't missed a day running.
Awesome. How far do you run each day?
I run 3 miles a day. That kind of became my run. So when you do it 7 days a week, I don't feel the need to go doing a marathon because I'd rather just keep my streak going for at least a few more years.
Sure.
And I mean, I like, you guys obviously know I love Christmas and Halloween and all that. That's, I love the birds. I think about it all year. Actually, I do like my job, which is, I guess, a good thing, although I've been kind of home for a number of months, like a lot of people. Pretty much I like sports, especially football, which goes along with liking the birds. And, I enjoy a movie once in a while. I'll even play a video game. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a pretty simple person, so I don't need to like skydive or stuff like that. I'm kind of afraid of, I'm afraid of heights, so I don't do that. But, yeah, anything sports related I've always been interested in, and holiday related, those are my favorite things.
Awesome. Awesome. We share a lot of the same interests. Who's your favorite football team?
The Jets, unfortunately, but they have,
That's okay. I'm a Cowboy fan, so we live in the same world.
Yeah, but you guys, you won a Super Bowl in your lifetime, I'm sure. I have not. So they won. The Jets won in 1969. I was not born, so I'm still waiting. But, you know, maybe some year.
Well, the Cubs did it, so anybody can do it.
Exactly. The Jets are not as going as long as the Cubs did, so it's very possible.
So why Christmas? I mean, what made Christmas special to you? And along those same lines, Edge, what keeps it special to you?
Well, for me, I mean, I think every kid loves Christmas. I mean, I think pretty much every kid loves Christmas. But I grew up in a big family. I'm actually the oldest of six. So I think when you're in a big family, it even holds more special feeling, I think. I mean, I don't know because I'm not, you know, but I know people who are only child and they like Christmas some, but they don't have kind of like the same traditions. And it's kind of different, I think. And I think growing up in a big family, and my parents always made it feel special, and I told stories on there, you know, in the hangout and stuff about, like, how we would have, like, little meetings, and, like, when we were little, we would, like, stay up past our bedtime and sneak out of our bed to talk about Christmas, like, leading up to it, and we would plan everything and what we were going to do and who was going to, you know, go downstairs first and all that, so it became, like, it was always, like, a special thing, and I think it just felt different. Like, Christmas always feels different than any other time of the year. And
absolutely.
I think that's why I love it.
Man, I love hearing the stories of other people's Christmas memories. I have a brother. And while I wouldn't call that a large family, we were a family, of course, we were a family of four, but we had a large extended family, and everybody lived in the same area. And so we had those huge family get-togethers where there were 12 or 15 of us, and it was hands down some of the best times of my life.
Yeah.
Was Christmas, and it was all centered around Christmas and the events of Christmas. And so I certainly feel the same. What's your favorite Christmas memory?
It's kind of a weird answer. I guess it's kind of like a political answer in a way, but honestly, every year kind of like makes a new memory. Like, every year just feels better, which is, I think that's why I love Christmas so much. As much as I loved it as a kid, I feel like as an adult, it just gets better because I think you appreciate things more as an adult. And, you just cherish it more because, look, we're all getting older, and you don't know what, as you see this year, who could have predicted everything that's been going on in the world?
Right.
So especially this year, I'm like, I'm never taking anything for granted again, because if you told me all this would have happened, you know, it makes Christmas seem like 100 years ago now after everything that's happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the memories of being a kid and just being with my family, you know, and I think Christmas Eve dinner has always been the thing I've referenced. And that's kind of like that moment where even when I was a kid, we were at my grandma's house every year, and we'd go there like the same time. We'd go to church at the same time. And go to our house, and like it was just like almost reliving it every year. It was like everybody, you know, the same people were there, we were kind of cooking the same food, and it was always that special moment where it's like this is like the one night of the year where it just feels like everything's perfect, you know. And I think reliving that year after year and then transferring it to my mom's and keep kind of keeping that going very similar, it's always been, that's still my favorite moment of every year is I think Christmas Eve night. Like it seems so special, you know.
It's funny how you can walk into the same house, the same time of year, the same food, but there's just a different feeling on Christmas Eve. I mean, it's almost like there's something in the air. It's such a magical moment. What was your favorite Christmas gift?
Well, when we were kids, honestly, we were spoiled. I think, especially on Christmas, because that's why we always do that thing I told you about. We would hold each other's hands and like we'd walk down the stairs. The first person who saw, you know, would peek around the bend and see as we got down the stairs, and they'd squeeze your hand so hard you felt like you were going to break their hand. So
that's great.
I don't really have I guess when we got, we were very much into video games. So, like when we would get like a new Nintendo system, that would be like a big, like, wow, we got that. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember, I've said this before too, about, for some reason, I just remember this. I probably was like 7 years old, but I liked Inspector Gadget as a cartoon. And I remember getting that Inspector Gadget, figure. It was like, you know, it wasn't like anything that amazing, but I just felt like so happy that I got it and I had asked for it. And I remember saying to my mom, and I was like, the reason I got this is because I say bless you when people sneeze. I don't know why. And she just smiled at me. And it's so weird because I don't remember a lot of I remember being a kid and I remember moments, but like that's a moment where I just remember almost like word for word and how it happened. It's just so weird. And she just kind of smiled at me like in that innocent, like she looked at me like, now you look back on it, like you're such an innocent kid. And she's like, yes, that is the reason. And like, that's so that kind of, that toy holds a special part. But I would say overall, like the excitement would be like when we open a new video game or something, we'd be like, wow, we got like Mario Brothers or, you know, new Nintendo. So those would be some of my favorite gifts, I would say.
I vividly remember a Christmas Eve when I got it was the Nintendo Entertainment System, but it was Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, and I can't remember exactly what the name of the game was, but it was a game where they basically just, it was one on one, and it was so much fun. So much
fun. Game up now after we hang up.
Sounds like a good game. It was, and my brother and I think we stayed up to like 2 that night.
Oh, wow.
Just playing, and so good times, good times.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you remember your first time finding MMC?
I do, actually. It was a long time ago. I don't know the year. I'd have to go back, but it's probably 15 years ago or so.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And I remember it because it was on December 26th, ironically, because I was walking. At that time, I wasn't into running yet, but I was just taking a walk. You know, I was in my, I guess, early mid-20s, around that. That was when I started to fall back in love with Christmas, because I lost it a little bit. Sometimes when you're, like, a teenager or late teens, or you kind of get out of certain things, and
sure.
I kind of started to lose that. And this one Christmas came by, and it just, like, blew me away, and I was like, what? Like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I was walking around December 26th saying, I have to wait a whole year for that to happen again. And I was thinking to myself, like, as much as I'm thinking about yesterday that just happened, I'm thinking about next Christmas already. And I started thinking, is there anybody in the world right now thinking about next Christmas?
Oh, my gosh.
And I searched online and came across Crown's Countdown and everything. And, you know, they were gearing up for the new year. And I'm like, wow, there are a lot of people that are thinking about, like, excited for next Christmas already. And I'm like, I'm not the only crazy person, you know, in a good way. But, but yeah, that's how I actually found it. And, you know, I just kind of got hooked ever since. You know, I love Crown's Countdown's always like the best. Everybody knows, you know, it's amazing what he's done all these years.
Absolutely.
And just everybody on there, you know, I just, over the years, you just see they're really good people. And they're just like, you know, they love the same things we love. And you can go on there and talk on April 10th about Christmas and nobody's going to, like, you know, say anything or look at you like something's wrong with you. Like, you can go in a supermarket and mention Christmas. Some people in November will get mad at you. So,
yeah,
that's what
I
love about MMC.
Oh, man, I can remember the first time that I found it, and I thought, it's funny you say, I was like, I'm not the only crazy person in the world. I thought I was like on an island,
exactly.
So to speak. And so, yeah, I certainly felt the exact same way. Do you have a special MMC memory?
I remember a few years ago, I was on December 23rd. And there were some people, I think, I don't want to get some official names on there, but there were a bunch of people that were talking about, they were getting nervous, actually, because it felt like it was coming too fast, you know, and it was going to end.
Yeah.
And I just remember going on there, not that I'm like, you know, Mr. Savior or anything, but I just went on there and said, hey, this is what we've been waiting for all year. And I know it is scary that it's come this fast, but the next 48 hours is like the best, what we wait for all year.
No doubt.
And I think everyone was kind of like rallying behind that. And they were all like, you're right. You know, it's like, we should just enjoy it. We got to enjoy it. And I always say, you know, I used to get very sad on December 26th. The last few years, mm-hmm. I kind of stopped doing that because the thing is like, for something to happen, it has to end. So, when if it never ends, it never happens. We do want it to come, even though we love the build up and all that, but we do need it to end eventually because we want to be able to say, hey, we just had like the most amazing time. And that's why it did end.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. So you're responsible for several different threads and I love your threads. They're so engaging, but where do you get the ideas and the content?
Well, I think, at my job, I do payroll and stuff, which doesn't sound that exciting, but I've been doing timesheets and stuff where I have to get people to do their timesheet every Friday. So I started this thing years and years ago, probably 6-7 years ago. I would have to send an email every Friday to tell the whole company, there's about 200 people, to submit your timesheet. So I would just say, submit your timesheet every Friday. And one day these guys upstairs are like, give me a hard time. Is that all you're going to say every Friday? So the next Friday I went on there and said something crazy and funny, and they all started laughing. They're like, so what are you going to do next week? So after that, I started this thing every Friday where I write this thing. I call it the Friday email. It's actually turned into a pretty, you know, not too long, but a good solid paragraph where I mention me, my coworkers, and certain inside jokes, and I tie it into somehow off a certain topic and tie it into doing your timesheet. And the whole company, for some reason, they love it. I've had people tell me I should be a writer. I'm like, I don't think I should be a writer because I can write a funny paragraph, but people enjoy it. So that's when I started saying, hey, I kind of like writing. I'm not going to say I'm going to write books and be professional, but I like writing. And so I started, went on that site and I started on MSC trying to have my own thread. And I'm like, it's kind of hard to do a thread 365 days a year. You know, that's what amazing is about Crown is he, you know, keeps it so interesting.
Absolutely.
Even doing it every day. But I'm like, if I start one, I'm going to start it where I can try to bring in other like different topics because that's where I get the hangout idea. And then I started adding things like about summer and like, it's interesting to talk about other stuff sometimes, but we obviously focus around the birds and everything. And actually we just started a birds thread, which everybody seems to like. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the Thanksgiving countdown I like doing because, I think that's the one holiday of the last 10 years I would say has gone up for me the most. Cause
okay.
10 years ago, I loved Christmas. 10 years ago, I loved Halloween. I liked Thanksgiving, but I just felt it was always overlooked. And then it just started to realize like, this is like the most perfect day of the year.
Absolutely.
You're starting the Christmas season. It's like, it's all about food. It's all about family. And everybody seems to just love Thanksgiving. It's just relaxing. You don't have to, you know, have all these gifts ready and wrapped. And so that's why I started the countdown, but I felt like it kind of gets shortchanged a little bit. So,
you know, at MNC, we obviously launch Christmas season.
Yep.
On a certain day, but for me personally, the Christmas season really starts that Saturday that Saturday before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I love to go grocery shopping that Saturday before.
Yeah.
It's just like the world hits this switch.
Yep.
And all of a sudden everyone's more courteous and more polite and people are smiling and greeting.
There's that exciting electricity in the air. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween. What's your favorite? I'm not going to let you. There's no problem. You've got to pick one.
So out of those three actual individual days, which is my favorite day of those 3 days?
Uh-huh.
I have to say Thanksgiving.
Okay.
If I just pick those days, I would pick Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're all awesome, but I love the other. That's a good question, though. But
okay.
Yeah.
So I know you're a Halloween junkie. I know Halloween's big for you. So talk to me about that. What are some of the favorite fall events that you go to or that you think of that you relate to the Halloween event?
Well, something I talked about on there in the hangout is this Halloween trail that I go to, which I just started going actually 3 years ago. And ironically, I live very close to Sleepy Hollow, which is Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which is kind of cool. I went to school there, so it's pretty cool that I, you know, you learned about it in school. Maybe that's why I've been into Halloween. But unfortunately, I don't know if it's going to happen this year. You know, with everything going on, it seems like everything is canceled. But I've already made a note that if it doesn't happen this year, I'm just basically going to talk to my brother about, like, how amazing, you know, because we talk about it sometimes or certain things, and just talk about the people I went with and say, you know, how amazing it was, and then appreciate it even more. But it is fun to go to because it's just kind of like, it's kind of like I related to kind of going to, if you're a Christmas fan and they let you into, like, this North Pole type, you know, like amusement park type. That's kind of what it is. And it's like you go there and it's just like all Halloween, and you get, and the actors are really into it, and you kind of forget that it's like fake, because, but it's not too scary where it's like, you know, they do, I think, let some kids in, but, you know, certain age. But, like, the whole feel of it is just awesome. And there's something special about October. That's always been one of my favorite months of the whole year. So,
absolutely.
It's awesome.
Edge, man, I appreciate so much you taking the time to do this. I promise you we'd stay about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate so much you taking the time to answer these questions. I know everybody's going to appreciate hearing your voice and hearing your thoughts. And I appreciate everything that you do at NMC, and it has been a pleasure to visit with you.
Now, I can hear what you're thinking. You're saying, Jeff, that's cool and all, but what does this have to do with celebrating 10 years of podcasting Christmas? Well, it has everything to do with it. As you recall from our history, we began by sending Santa updates out by fax. And to our astonishment, people started to respond by fax immediately. This is one of the unsung beauties of Christmas. We share, we give, and everybody has a lot of giving to do on the merry forums of My Merry Christmas. This next segment showcases that. This is one of our stalwart, ever-giving members who showcases a personal contact, a personal experience, with a personal memory of great Christmas significance. This is the power of sharing Christmas together online. We get stuff for the podcast that people just cannot get anywhere else. And it's just great Christmas. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. No discussion of the American Christmas is complete without the personal experiences and stories surrounding the classics of American culture. Here with a special feature is Mary Carey with the charming inside look at the creation of Mel Torme's Christmas song.
One of the most popular and beloved songs of Christmas is The Christmas Song by Mel Torme and Bob Wells, better known by its opening line, "Chestnuts roasting on an open fire." In June, Mr. and I traveled to Hawaii to visit a special lady who has a personal connection with this song. Gloria Jean had a 30-year career in show business as a singer and actress. At the age of 12, she attended an open audition for movie producer Joseph Pasternak, and her remarkable voice won her a 5-year movie contract at Universal Pictures. At Universal, Gloria appeared with established favorites like Bing Crosby and W.C. Fields, and with up-and-coming talent like Donald O'Connor and Mel Torme. In 1944, at the age of 18, Torme appeared opposite 17-year-old Gloria in a musical comedy film entitled Pardon My Rhythm. They became good friends, and Torme often visited Gloria's home, where she lived with her parents and her sisters. Gloria told us the story of one very memorable visit by Mel Torme.
That was an interesting story because Mel Torme, we worked together in a movie, and he used to come to my house quite often because I had a beautiful piano. And he'd sit and play and sing. And one day he came up and I could hear the music playing, and I said, "What's going on?" My mother said, "Oh, go on in. Mel is working on a new song. I think he's writing it." So I heard this music, and Mel said, "How do you like chestnuts roasting on an open fire?" And then he started the song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
And I said, Mel, I love that. That's going to be beautiful. Oh, I'm glad you like it. It's going to be a song I'm getting ready. And he was all excited because he said, the song is going to be a classic, and I'm very excited about it because Nat King Cole is going to do the recording of it. It's history from then on.
As we all know, the song did become a classic, and Nat King Cole did record it. But you may not know that the version that we usually hear was actually his fourth recording of the song, taped in March of 1961. The first recording was by the King Cole Trio in June of 1946. This unreleased recording was superseded by a second recording in August of the same year. His third recording was made with Nelson Riddle's orchestra in 1952. Then came the 1961 stereo recording that we're most familiar with. As Gloria said,
who wouldn't know that song? For the Mary Podcasts, this is Gloria Jean.
And this is Mary Carey.
Merry Christmas to you.
Of course, being a community means not just sharing things together, but doing things together. And how do you accomplish that online? Several years ago, we started a little giving project that we still call Santa Slay. It's all of us, merry reindeer, pulling together to give back anonymously, just as Santa Claus did of old. This next segment comes from a 2015 episode of the Merry Podcast that first featured a song, well, that isn't a Christmas song. That particular episode in which we used this song was about Christ, an episode that many podcasters would probably never touch because it's spiritual. Well, I'm not afraid to go there because Christmas for many is a spiritual thing. You know, I'm lucky to live in the area I do, in Utah. We get exposure to so many great artists and so many spiritual people, and we even get to know some who go on to fame outside our tiny little market here of Utah. And one of those is David Archuleta. We had featured him before on the Mary Podcast. And so we had a weigh-in. Around the time before this episode about Christ, Archuleta released a song with Nathan Pacheco called The Prayer. I think it was probably done by others before they got to it, but it's a terrific song. And I called his people to see if we could use it, and their response was something akin to, well, okay, but it's not a Christmas song. Yeah, it is. It's a Christmas song for anybody who's spiritual. And it introduces beautifully a story I struggled to share about the work of Santa Slay and, by extension, the Christmas community online.
I pray you'll be our rise and watch us where we go. Help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. La luce che tu dai, I pray we'll find your light, nel cuore resterà, and hold it in our hearts, a ricordarci che stars go out each night. L'eterna stella sempre nella mia preghiera. Let this be a prayer. Quanta fede c'è. When shadows fill our day. Lead us to a place. Guide us with your faith, so we'll be saved. Sogniamo un mondo senza più violenza.
senza un mondo di giustizia e di speranza. With your grace, give us faith so we'll be saved. E la fede che hai acceso in noi, sento che ci
With that thought in mind, I share two true stories of Christmas 2015. The first, and I did make mention of this on the forums the other day, comes out of the state of Oklahoma, where we have an old friend of Santa's sleigh, a pastor, who has helped us to help some others in Christmases past. He emailed me about 2 weeks ago asking if we had room in Santa's sleigh for a new parishioner where he lives, a single mother of three, working two jobs and having a tough go of things. Her situation was new to him, and his request was a little late, but if Santa's sleigh could help, he would appreciate it. Well, I'll be honest, the effort with Santa's sleigh has been a little weak this year, and I blame myself for that. I just haven't given it the publicity I usually have, and the funds this year have shown that. But something about the situation stirred me, so I contacted my friend just to see what it would do to help this lady out, what it would take. The needs were pretty small, just a couple of $100 to buy a few gifts and to help with the late bill. It seemed such a small request that I sent him the money, and he set the ladies of his church to work in helping this little family have a merrier Christmas. A few days ago, my pastor friend contacted me again, and even though he knows the rules, he asked anyway for an exception. Could this woman at least send us a thank you note? He asked. Well, we've seen this many times before. We have witnessed the tears of gratitude and felt the hot flush of unexpected relief and joy that comes from an outstretched hand at Christmas. But that's not why we do what we do. And gently, I had to tell my friend to pass our own gratitude on to this nice lady, but that Santa's sleigh flies only in the dark of night, and we never reveal ourselves because, frankly, our faces are many, and there is a greater message that we want to share other than Merry Christmas to these folks. If she wants to thank us, I told our friend, ask her to lend a small hand to someone that she sees in need there. That message was relayed, and in a day or two I received another email. While working an afternoon shift at a restaurant, our lady friend was given a small gift card from her boss for a job well done, and she thought about our message, and she decided to use the gift of the gift card by re-gifting it to another. As car after car went by the drive-thru window, she saw one with occupants that appeared to her much like her own humble little family, and she bought them their meal. To her astonishment, the flustered receiver of her gift paid for the car behind her, and then the next did the same, and so it went for more than 80 cars, our stunned friend standing in awe. and watching the good and the cheer and the smiles that came from such simple giving. Our pastor friend described her as a changed woman, a woman on a mission to serve and give this week like no other he has associated with him. Just weeks ago, this woman came to him in despair and depression, dreading the season and what it might mean if she didn't get some help. And here she was now, her light shining to warm the way for others she sees in need. This is the lesson of Christmas. We have learned it time and time again here at My Merry Christmas. And it comes in ways great. Okay, are you starting to get it yet? Does this explain why I'm so weird and why our podcast is so different? Well, maybe this fun little segment next will help you see it a little more clearly.
Fans of Christmas who gather year-round on the Merry Forums and who take the time to call into My Merry Christmas for our annual Christmas greetings segment of the Merry Podcast. Along with the exchanges we host each season, these greetings are the highlight of my year. Frankly, to hear the spirit of Christmas in your voices and to hear the feelings of your heart so warmly extended to each other through this little tradition. Here are the voices of many reaching out to say Merry Christmas this year.
Merry Christmas from Christmas Star in Stratford, Ontario, Canada. I want to wish everybody on the forums a Merry Christmas and thank you for being such great friends all year long. And may we one day even get to meet each other face to face. Have a great holiday season. Bye.
Hello and Merry Christmas from George Broderick Jr. and Cool Yule Comics. And here's wishing everyone a happy and prosperous 2013. Ha, that's right, Mayans, 2013.
Hi, this is James, also known as Why Christmas. Wishing everybody at MyMerryChristmas.com a very happy Christmas.
Hi, this is Kaylee, also known as Jude's Mama on the forum. I just want to wish all of my Merry Christmas friends a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I'd like to thank you all for celebrating the wonderful Christmas season all throughout the year and making it a happy time always. Have a great holiday season. Wish the best to you and your family. Bye.
Hi, everyone. This is Little Noel Wells. Calling from Louisiana. We wanted to wish you a very, very, very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from my family to yours. Merry Christmas, my friends.
Hi, Christmas family. This is K9 Mom 3. I want to take this moment to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas on behalf of myself, Clancy, Wishbone, Hermione, Smokey, and Lily. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Greetings from Ontario, Canada. With or without snowflakes touching the ground, we wish you and yours a joyous Christmas sound. Keep a merry thought in your head from Annie Mistletoe Deer and O'Malley the Cat. Love ya.
Hey gang, it's been a great year. Merry Christmas from Ball Coach.
Merry Christmas! This is the Cabot family. We are hoping that Ellie gets off the naughty list real soon, so we were just calling to make sure that Santa would take her off the naughty list and put her on the nice list. Thank you and have a Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Brad Mack wishing all my friends a very Merry Christmas from Southeast Georgia, USA.
Hello, everyone, from Perry Hall, Maryland. This is Xmas Tidings, and I just wanted to wish you, all of you, my friends, my MNC family, a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy, prosperous, and safe New Year's. Take care. I look forward to sharing another wonderful Christmas with all of you. God bless.
Hi, this is Dwayne from ChristmasDisplays.co.nz here in New Zealand. It is currently our summer and we are enjoying a beautiful one. I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a safe New Year and look forward to seeing everyone on the forums and hearing the podcast for next year. Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Sea Waters out in California, sometimes known as Cheryl. No, California is not sometimes known as Cheryl. I am sometimes known as Cheryl. But I wanted to wish my Christmas family a very, very Merry Christmas. This year you have meant so much to me, and I think you know that. But again, Merry Christmas and have a safe and wonderful New Year. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Solis calling from Norway. Wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Storytime speaking to you from deep in the heart of Texas, and I would just like to wish all my friends all around the world at my Merry Christmas a wonderful and happy and very Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Kirsten, Sugar 14-2286 calling. I want to wish all my friends at MMC Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Have a great year in 2013.
What's up? This is Drag Rebel. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all the members. I hope you all enjoy your time with families and friends. Yeah, again, Merry Christmas from Candace and Stripey and me. Bye-bye.
Hi, MMC. It's Shelley 12 here. Just a call to wish each and every one of you a wonderful, happy, and peaceful New Year. And, of course, hugs to all the four babies. Ho, ho, ho. Have a happy Christmas, kids. Bye.
Hey, it's Undertaker, leaving a My Merry Christmas message greeting to everybody, friends and family. Hope you have yourself a safe and happy holiday, and Merry Christmas.
Season's greetings, happy holidays, and Merry Christmas. Hello, this is SW1 Dennis from Chandler, Arizona. I want to wish everyone at MyMerryChristmas.com and your families a Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year 2013. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Season's greetings. This is Snowflake22, and on behalf of Adrian, Harlow, and I, we'd like to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas and a joyous New Year. Sending much love to you all.
This is Snow in Texas and Christmasaholic in Texas wishing everyone at MMC a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Happy New Year!
Hi everyone, this is Ron, also known as Xmas365. I'm just calling to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi everybody, it's Maureen here in Scotland, and I'd just like to wish you and your families a very, very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy 2013.
Hello, this is Ryan from the forums, and I don't know if I'm too late or not, but I was just calling to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas at the world's biggest Christmas party tomorrow evening. Anyway, I hope you guys have a wonderful season, and I love talking to you all on the forums. Thank you.
This is Michael Riley, head elf at ClausNet.com, the world's largest Santa and Mrs. Claus community, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
I hope everybody has a very, very Merry Christmas from Toronto. It's Mary Noel calling. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Hey, everybody. It's Mary Mistletoe. I wanted to wish everybody on here a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I pray that God blesses each and every one of you with good health and happy memories and the most wondrous Christmas of all. See you later. Merry Christmas.
And from the Westover family of Richmond, Utah in the USA, we send you our merry greetings for a wonderful Christmas wherever you are, and dedicate this Christmas hymn in your honor as we think of you this holiday season.
In closing out this episode, I want to share one more thing of a very personal nature with you. As some of you may know, my experience with the utter nightmare that has been 2020 actually began a week before Christmas last year when I lost my job very unexpectedly, before the whole virus thing became a thing. Well, I'm no spring chicken. I'm not at a great time of life to be starting over with the job, and 2020 taught me in a hurry that my value in the marketplace of jobs just isn't what it once was, and things got pretty desperate right around the month of April of this year. Well, I did everything I could, but it soon became clear to me that I was going to have to fold my online Christmas empire because I simply just couldn't pay for it much longer and still support my family. I shared this tough news one Sunday morning in May, and within an hour I had more than enough money to keep us rolling. I was told time and time again, the internet needs this place. Well, I can't tell you how humbling this year has been for me. The lessons as we celebrate our 10th anniversary of podcasting have just become more important as time marches on. Join us at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas. It doesn't matter if you're new, and it doesn't matter if you don't get it at first and that it feels a little awkward. Come join us and share your Christmas with us. We have folks from all over the world, folks from so many different kinds of backgrounds, folks with a lot of great Christmas to share. Come share your Christmas with us. And here's to another great decade of Christmas podcasting at the Merry Little Podcast. For all of us at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.